Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Hanukkah is upon us yet again, and like most holidays in America, it means different things to different people. But as Professor Diane Ashton of Rowan University writes in her new book, Hanukkah in America, that has largely been precisely the point in a country where Jews represent a scant minority. Considered a minor festival without biblical roots, Hanukkah has become inflated in modern America thanks to its proximity to Christmas and its relatively simple traditions that involve candles, dreidels, and fried foods. Minor though it may be historically, Hanukkah is one of modern Judaism's most observed holidays. Diane Ashton holds a PhD from Temple University and is a member of the Executive Committee of the Academic Council of the American Jewish Historical Society, and it's my pleasure to welcome her to the roundtable. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
How has Hanukkah changed over the course of the history of the United States in the way that it's celebrated in this country?
Oh, it's changed dramatically. What happened was that during the 19th century, there was a lot of debate among rabbis and leaders of Jewish congregations, because there weren't very many rabbis in the United States then, a lot of debate over who should lead Judaism and what direction should Judaism go in the United States, and how could it survive in the United States. It was really a very small minority of people, less than 1% of the population. And the reform movement was growing. There were people who were opposed to reform. There were people who were very much caring about maintaining tradition. And so these debates emerged in Jewish newspapers all over the country. And the various sides, each of the different sides of this debate, clothed themselves in the Maccabean mantle. They wanted to appear as Maccabees for the modern age, people who would be able to take the lead and take Judaism into the future and kind of resolve the problems and take over leadership. And that by using the image of the Maccabees and speaking about how important the Maccabees were, they actually educated a broad swath of American Jews in the importance of the Maccabees, and reminded them how significant they were in Jewish history. And that's really what begins Hanukkah's change from a festival that's really rarely thought of to something that is begun to be seen as something that has been very significant.
So what is it that Jews saw as, I don't know if the right word would be aspirational, but what was it that they saw reflected in the Maccabees in their own lives in the United States?
Maccabees, I think, represented bravery, that they were willing to fight for their beliefs, to maintain Jewish practice despite the difficulties. And in fact, in the time that they were living, the king, Antiochus IV, who was the king of Assyria, was really trying to wipe out Judaism. And he took over the temple in Jerusalem. He got rid of the sacred objects there. He looted the temple. He took the money for charity for widows and orphans. He banned some of the most fundamental practices of Judaism. And when the Maccabees defeated him and reclaimed the temple and rededicated it, which is what Hanukkah is all about, they really gave Judaism a rebirth. They made it possible for Judaism to survive into the future. And so this image of people who were so determined to maintain Judaism and to do anything to make sure that it survived were kind of inspiring to Jews in 19th century America and in 20th century America when Judaism faced a lot of difficulties worldwide.
Let's back up a little bit and go back to that temple rededication. One thing I learned from your book is that the idea of the 8-day lasting oil, that is now shorthand for why we celebrate Hanukkah, the miracle of the oil lasting for 8 days upon the rededication of the temple, didn't actually enter into the texts until very much later. So how did that change happen?
That story comes in the writings of the early rabbis, and that is not in Bible at all. You're right, this Maccabean story is not included in the Bible. But the story of the rededication and the miracle of the oil is something that appears in the Talmud, and that describes what the Hanukkah ritual should be, of lighting the menorah for 8 days to commemorate this miracle of the oil. And what the miracle was, according to Talmud, was that when the Maccabees were rededicating the temple in Jerusalem, the menorahs, the oil lamps that always remained lighted because they symbolized the presence of God, they had been stolen. They were gone. So the Maccabees and their followers had to build new oil lamps called menorahs, and so they built them out of very humble objects, and they only found a small amount, a very tiny amount, of oil, which is a specially prepared, purified oil that the priests had. It was their job to prepare the oil for these oil lamps. And there was very, very little left. And yet, miraculously, that little drop of oil lasted for 8 days until more could be made.
Now that is the shorthand for what we're celebrating. In many ways, it's a festival of lights. In the Talmud, then, were we already at that point redefining what Hanukkah meant in a metaphorical way?
Probably so. Remember, by the time the Talmud is written, the temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed by Rome, and there was no more temple in Jerusalem. So what the rabbis were doing was to reshape Jewish practice into something that Jews could do in their homes and communities without a temple. So making it a simple ritual that people could do in their homes and that's also done in synagogues became the way Hanukkah was celebrated. And that emphasized the miracle more than the Maccabean bravery. The miracle that God provided, suggesting that God was really the source of the Maccabean victory. Yes, the Maccabees were brave, but the Talmud is saying that without God's fighting on their side, without God's help, the Maccabees could not have won.
You write that the Hanukkah is one of the most celebrated festivals among American Jews today, and I think Passover, those are the top two. What is it that that makes those holidays more observed for modern American Jews than some of the other higher holy days?
Well, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are also very important holidays that are observed very widely. But Passover is most people's favorite holiday, and Hanukkah has been augmented in a way that actually makes it more like Passover. Both holidays are celebrated in homes. Both holidays are celebrated with food, with family gatherings for 8 days. And so because there's things that each family creates itself, they're able to be really tailored to what each family truly loves, the favorite tastes and decor and timing and their favorite people to gather with each other. And so it's something families do for themselves.
We're talking at a time just a few months after a major survey was released showing numbers really down among American Jewry, and you know, families are becoming more splintered, and perhaps Jewish children are marrying outside of the faith more than ever before. And your book is largely about Jews being survivalist within their faith in a certain way, and Hanukkah allowing them to change the meaning of the holiday as it pertains to the struggles of that particular era. So I wonder how you think Hanukkah is changing today when the numbers for Jews in the United States seem to be down significantly.
It's a tremendous question, and I think two things are happening. One is that the reason Hanukkah continues to be popular is that it is something that each family can tailor to its own tastes and abilities to create a festival. The ritual itself is very simple and very quick. It's just lighting the candle and saying a blessing. But when you have families in which more than one religion is practiced, then each family is really faced with the challenge of which holidays are we going to celebrate? How are we going to do that? But I think what you see with Hanukkah is that the story of the Maccabees has been so flexible that people see the idea of fighting to maintain religious practice, despite opposition, despite difficulties, as something that people can kind of relate to, and no matter what those difficulties are. And also the family fun nature of it, the food, the games, the singing. There's lots of songs associated with Hanukkah celebrations. These are things that lots of people can enjoy without necessarily agreeing with everything Judaism teaches. And so families can structure their Hanukkah celebrations to fit their families. And this makes it possible for interfaith families to create Hanukkah celebrations as well. But with that, each family finds its own way.
What happens in your house?
We have a Hanukkah party every year.
Early this year, by the way.
Very early, yes. Very early. Very unusual that it's this early. The last time was in 1888. So, yeah, it's very unusual.
Let's stop right there for people who may not know the intricacies of the Hebrew calendar. Why is it so early this year?
The Hebrew calendar is primarily a lunar calendar, although it does have some changes, some modifications inserted so that holidays remain basically in the season when they're supposed to be celebrated. But, of course, the U.S. calendar is a straight solar calendar, and so they don't match up. Even though, according to the Hebrew calendar, Hanukkah always appears on the same day, the 25th of Kislev, that doesn't always match up with the same time in the solar calendar. And every few years, the Hebrew calendar adds a month to kind of keep things straight. But it's been a while since that, and so this year, Hanukkah falls very early, and it's really very surprising. And it won't actually, the first light is actually the day before Thanksgiving on the 27th of November. And that won't happen again.
Now, that brings me to the next question, which is kind of the holiday elephant in the room for Jews has always been Christmas. And, you know, more than a few people have remarked upon how early the Christmas season now begins. I mean, you've got Halloween candy and candy canes next to each other in stores at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of influence has that had on Hanukkah in maybe, say, the last 20, 30 years? Just the hyper-consumerism that seems to define the modern experience of Christmas for many people, not all, certainly. And then Hanukkah, especially this year, which is so early and kind of out of the way by the time Christmas is really here.
Well, the consumerism of Christmas actually began in the late 19th century, and it began being a time when gifts were given to children that long ago. And so at that time, rabbis and Jewish parents began to say, you know, our kids are envying their Christian playmates because they're not getting any presents. So we need to do something to make our kids feel happy to be Jews in this season when everything around them seems to be indulging Christian children. And that, of course, has grown as the consumer marketing in American society has grown and become ever more materialistic. But it actually is something that's been going on for quite some time. And so very early in the 20th century and in the late 19th century, you see Hanukkah presents being given to children in the U.S., and it's really because religious leaders and parents were concerned that their children were going to feel that they were envying their Christian playmates, that they weren't happy being Jewish, and that there was something going on in the culture around them that they couldn't participate in. And so it was really to make Jewish kids happy, to give them good memories of childhood, being Jewish during their childhood years, so that they would continue to remain Jewish as they grew up.
Diane Ashton is the author of Hanukkah in America, A History, and she is also professor at Rowan University and is a member of the Executive Committee of the Academic Council of the American Jewish Historical Society. Diane, Professor Ashton, what a pleasure to speak with you, and I guess I'll have to say Happy Hanukkah.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.